Hello and welcome to the Engagement Coach Podcast.
Welcome to the Engagement Coach Podcast with your host, Amrit Sander. So for those of you who are following us weekly, you'll have realized that last week we didn't have an episode out. So my sincere apologies. But after 2 years of avoiding it, I managed to get COVID. So, or COVID got me, should I say. So my sincere apologies. We weren't producing an episode. We didn't launch an episode last week. But we're back this week and we're hoping to carry on strong throughout the year. So please bear with us. This week, I want to talk to you about creating a great work culture. What are the components that we need to build in a great work culture? But I want to do it from the context of where we are right now. We've got the cost of living crisis. Bills, household bills are being squeezed more than ever before. We've had a 54% increase on energy bills from the 1st of April. We're due another one in October. And there's probably an awful lot of pressure on organizations to reduce their overheads. So in this current climate, how do you go about creating a great work culture? And there's a couple of things I want to talk about, a number of things actually. But one of the things I think a lot of organizations are under pressure for is reducing their overheads, their costs. And with the whole hybrid remote working, there's organizations out there that might be reviewing whether they need the office space anymore. One thing I will say is, although the office space isn't being used as it was, I think every organization still needs a hub, a social hub where people can come together and just interact and socialize with each other. So it may not be the same space anymore. It might be a completely different space, but I would just get you to think about what sort of hub do you need for your teams to come and socialize at or in that identifies with the organization, that helps reinforce the culture. What does it look like? Now, in the past, I know people had sort of, you know, leisure facilities or table tennis, ping pong, whatever it might be going on in their organizations. It's just thinking now, what does this space mean for us if people are remote or hybrid working? The other thing I would urge you to think about, certainly in this tight labor market where I'm hearing a lot from CEOs, a lot of organizations that are saying we are struggling to find the talent we need. And one of the things that we might want to start thinking about, or certainly review if you've already got it in place, is your benefits package or your total rewards package. These are packages that, you know, help support employees, but actually, are they really adding value? I once worked in a place where we would get 10 or 15% off electrical goods. Well, in this current climate, who's going to be buying electrical goods unless it's a need? It's not an impulse purchase. So, and the chances are you buy a laptop, you're probably going to keep it for 2-3 years, maybe longer. So is that really going to add value? Whereas actually, what's our health package like? With COVID, with the whole focus on health and well-being, people are probably more focused on having something like that, where they might have private medical healthcare, where they can see a private GP, that might be of more value. So it's worth just thinking about what is it that our employees really, really need right now. There might be some, you know, cheaper loans that I know some organizations we've worked with who have provided cheaper loans as a facility of helping employees, and certainly in the current climate. The other thing I don't think organizations do often enough, and I have written about this in some publications, is financial training. I don't still think there's enough financial training out there in terms of pension advice, savings for the future. I mean, I can tell you now, throughout my career, I have gone through my life without receiving any financial training. Anything I know, I've learned through my own curiosity. So again, I think there's probably much more we can do in helping organizations, helping employees across organizations, you know, to balance those household bills that we all have to contend with, that we're now struggling with. So how do we help organizations? I know there's a huge focus, you know, Martin Lewis, the weekly, you know, TV program that he runs on Money Saving Expert, is inundated, and you often hear the same things coming out again and again. Well, what if organizations were to help their employees save money? How can I save my household bills? I mean, imagine what sort of benefit that would be. I think many employees would love something like that. Now, I know there's a number of organizations out there that are looking to downsize or to change their office space to go for a cheaper version of what they have currently. And we went through a time years ago where everybody wanted a nice, swanky office, make it look good. One thing I would just provide a cautionary note on is how cheap we go. You know, the basic office space, people won't need to come to work to work. The office space is now going to become this hub where people socialize, mix. And so that space is going to be even more crucial. So whatever you choose to change to, just bear in mind you want it to become a space that people are still proud to go to. They're looking forward to going there as opposed to dreading going there. So, you know, costs need to be taken into account and balanced, but just it's worth thinking about, is this a sort of space that would be a real hub of socializing where people can come together and help reinforce the identity of the organization? And in anything you're choosing to do, how does this help reinforce your organizational culture? We've talked about social identity theory and this, the them and us. Well, whenever organizations are making changes to, you know, costs, controlling costs or looking at how they can improve the employee well-being experience, it's just worth thinking about, is this who we are? Does it represent who we are and what we stand for? Often decisions are made and they're just out of kilter and people sort of left confused thinking, well, what's that all about? So in terms of culture, organization culture, how going about creating great cultures, all of this is underpinned by having a great relationship with employees. So we're not introducing things that people are sat there confused thinking, well, why would they have brought that in? That's of no value to us. But actually, because we know our employees so well, we know this is what they're going to need. I still think there's a lot of scope out there to really use data as a metric or metrics to help us understand what do we need. So all the benefits packages that are being offered out there, how many millions are being spent? But actually, have we got metrics of how much of these are being used? Does that tell us something? Either it's irrelevant or it's confusing and not even easy to find. So it'll be worth understanding what's stopping people from using the benefits that were introduced. What was the rationale behind them? Is that still relevant for the current climate? Are those benefits that are being offered still relevant for today? And what are the other things people are going to need? The cost of living crisis means our household bills are being squeezed. But I know people will want to still look to treat themselves. You know, whether it's eating out, whether it's holidays, where could organizations help bring some of that element in where they can try and negotiate cheaper prices, cheaper days out, whatever it might be? Again, that doesn't tie people up in any way where they're obliged to pay anything. But actually, when they do want to treat themselves, they really can. I mentioned earlier the tight labor market we're in. Speaking to a number of organizations, there are a lot of people out there, a lot of organizations out there trying to find talented people with the experience they need to come into their organization. And actually, that lack of skill is holding the strategy back. I think this is where now the employee benefits package really does come into its own. Think about the employee experience, whether you're remote working, hybrid working. Many people are now experiencing the same way of working. They're sat at home, in their offices, at home, or their workspace. And whether you work for one organization or another, the employee experience is probably very, very similar. What is it that's going to make you feel proud to work where you work? It'll be how well the organization looks after you. Now, that looking after you might be in the sense of the health and well-being. It might be in the development, training. It might be in the way your manager shows care and compassion. It might be the way you're trusted. All of this links back into creating great cultures. It might be the way you regularly get together as a team, where you just get to socialize. Do you remember the old days when socializing was frowned upon? You know, you were sort of timed, you know, time in motion studies. All of that's a thing of history. But in order to create great cultures, we want to facilitate networking, relationship building, health and well-being, people being their best at work. And the current pace at which people are working may not be getting the best out of them. So again, it's worth thinking about what else can we do to help slow the pace down, the timelines. Every organization wants to make the most of the opportunities around them right now. But at what cost? If it means our employees are going to buckle under the pressure, how is that adding value? Because we're probably going to lose people, let alone attract and retain the very best talent. So look, creating great work cultures, it sounds really straightforward, right? But I think there's a much greater emphasis now on the employee benefits packages. How can we really make sure these are tailored to what people need right now? Cost of living crisis, household bills being squeezed, pressure on parents, families, on loved ones, people out there who are looking after their elderly parents. There's an awful lot here, where, you know, multi-generations out there that are struggling to cope, and employees may need the support of their employers. I'll go back to the Endelman Trust Barometer, which I've mentioned a number of times in previous podcasts. Organizations are the most trusted entities now that people look to for trusted advice, information, but I think also for demonstrating care and compassion. So now there's a real opportunity where organizations can really demonstrate that care and compassion for their employees and show how much they value them, making sure that the benefits packages are right. And just one last thing, you know, everything I'm sharing with you now, we as an organization are going through. We're a small organization, but we're about to have a strategy day, and I've got a number of different benefits packages or benefits offering that I've got together, but I've also asked the team to have a think about. What are the benefits we as a team would want? What are the things that we're struggling with? You know, if the team are struggling with getting hold of a GP, then should we look at private medical healthcare so that at least that's one noise taken away? In a current climate when healthcare is being so focused, you know, our attention has been so focused on looking after our health, if I can't get hold of a GP, that's going to be important. So it's things like that that are going to be important to your employees. Find out what's important to them. What's going on in their lives? How are they struggling with the current crisis? And it's only going to get worse. Inflation's looking to rise into double digit potentially by the end of the year. We've got another increase in household bills by October. How can you as an employer really add value here? And I often talk about employer engagement. Forget employee engagement. People join organizations engaged. Disengagement is what we do to them. How can we demonstrate as an employer our engagement to our employees? And this is by truly adding value to their lives, whether it's financial advice, financial planning, financial training, health and well-being, benefits packages, whatever it might be. And that will really give organizations the edge, but also create genuine great workplaces and great work cultures. I hope that's been helpful. There's an awful lot out there online, but please get in touch if you want us to sort of pass you by any organizations. But it's worth having a think about now. Review your benefits package. Is it really adding value? Is it really doing what we want it to do? And what's the data telling us? How many people are using it? How many people can find it? How many people are aware of it? And if they are aware of it, or were made aware of it, would they still use it? So it's just worth going back and having a look at all of that now in the current climate. So that's all for me today. Join me again next week for more thoughts, views on culture, leadership, employee engagement, and everything else in between. Amrit Sander from The Engagement Coach. I shall see you soon. Take care.
The Engagement Coach Podcast.